Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
I'm Manny.
And this is a special 12 days of the Comic Source Countdown. Manny and I are going to do a few of these today for your listening pleasure. And we're going to start with our top five B-list characters we want to see in our own title. And some of these, I mean, they can't have had a title that recently. I think one of my people on the list had his own title, but it was, you know, 30 plus years ago. So I think it's time for him to come back. But for the most part, my characters that I picked have never had a title as far as I know. So that's, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe some of them have had a title here or there, but they certainly haven't had anything recently. Because there were people I thought about putting on my list, like Taskmaster, for example. Man, he has a title coming out right now. So, anyway, I always like to let Manny start. So Manny, who's, and again, these are in no particular order, but give us your first choice.
My first choice that I have on my list, and that's actually was the first person I thought of, was Miguel Barragan, otherwise known as Bunker, he debuted in Teen Titans. New Teen Titans with Red Robin a couple of in 2011. He has similar powers to Green Lantern in the sense that he can make constructs, but they're actually, he has to formulate them out of bricks, like brick constructs. So like it's not just like fluid energy, it's the constructs are almost like Lego type constructs. And I would love to see, like, he was really charismatic in the book and I really liked him. It's one of the reasons why I kind of stayed on with the New Teen Titans book. And so I just think he'd be an interesting character. Plus he's Hispanic. I'm always going to vouch for his more Hispanic characters. And being that he has Green Lantern-like powers, I think he'd be cool to follow. And he's also... it doesn't matter, but I mean, his sexuality doesn't matter, but he's also gay. So I know that for some corporate people, that checks a box as, oh, look at us, we're being very inclusive. So that's, I liked him in the book. That's why I picked him.
Yeah, not a bad choice. Not a bad choice at all. My first pick is going to be Blue Devil. Now, I know he had his own title, but man, that was back in, like, it ended in 1986. It has been a long time, over 30 years since he's had a title. And man, he hardly even ever shows up at all. I mean, I think he might have showed up most recently in Death Metal, but it didn't even look like the old school Blue Devil, and they made him look supernatural. And here's the thing, right? Like, he shouldn't be supernatural. His whole origin is like he was a special effects guy and a stuntman, and he basically was wearing a costume, a Blue Devil costume, and then it got like zapped by aliens and the costume like melded onto him basically or something like that. So he shouldn't really necessarily be considered, you know, a magical kind of guy or whatever, but I don't know. I think it was a fun series. I think he's a fun character, and it's been many, 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 many years since he's had his own title. And so his first appearance actually isn't Blue Devil 1. It's actually Fury of Firestorm number 24, because they threw it in as like a bonus feature in the middle of the book. There's like a 16 page story in the center of Fantastic Four, or God, I can't even talk. Fury of Firestorm number 24 in the middle. And they did that with things like Teen Titans, you know, first appearing in a DC Comics Presents, and He-Man. I think also He-Man the Master Universe also appeared in a DC Comics Presents. So it had happened before. But anyway, that's my first pick. So who do you have up next, Manny?
Up next, I want a solo series, not a team book, because he's going to be featured in a team book in 2011, but I want to see an Owlman series.
You know what? I considered him.
I just think that it'd be interesting to see this kind of character and from a different light, like his own adventures, his point of view, and check out that story. It's because usually even in crime syndicate stories, he's not necessarily very loud and upfront. It's usually some of the other characters who are a little bit more charismatic. And I get it. He's a Batman-like character. I mean, hell, he's a Thomas Wayne Jr. So from his earth, at least. So it'd just be cool. It's different.
Yeah. And I agree. I think that based on the strength of him showing up and the way he acted in that death metal one shot that he
was. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, I did consider him. And the reason that I did not put him in is because I think, like you said, so the crime syndicate story is coming out, but I want to say that somebody's doing that he has a story in one of the anthologies, you know, still, that's not the same as having their own title. So perfectly valid, but that was ultimately the reason that I did not go with him. All right. My next pick is Mimic from the X-Men corner of the Marvel Universe. First appearance way back in 1966, X-Men number 19. If you're not familiar with Mimic, he showed up as a supervillain first, and he had the powers of all the original X-Men. So, you know, he could fly, he had optic blasts, he had ice blasts, he had the giant beast feet, and he had mental powers, and eventually became a kind of an ally of the X-Men. But you know, supposedly he has the ability to copy the powers of anybody who's in a certain range of him. So he has the abilities of the X-Men, but there's no reason why he couldn't have other people's abilities. So I just think that's such a powerful, that's a powerful ability, and you could do so much with it. Of course, I'm not even sure he's alive. He's alive right now. He was killed in the pages of Extermination, but you know, we've had the X universe sort of tilted on its head since then with the whole Age of X-Man thing. So whatever, I'm not sure if he's alive, but I always thought he was an interesting character, really powerful. Surprised he hasn't had his own title before now. All right, what do you have up next, Manny?
Detective Chimp. You kind of see him like pop up every now and then, and he's super smart or whatever. Sometimes he's drinking. But he's been around
most since of the time he's drinking.
Yeah, he's been around since 1952, where he first appeared in Adventures of Rex the Wonder Dog number 4. So it'd be cool to see him go on some detective adventures written by Tom King, because who else is going to read? I'm just kidding. It just seems like it'd be a fun book. Maybe do it like a private eye kind of feel to it.
Yeah, I actually think that would sell. There is definitely a segment of the comic book reading population that loves monkeys. Put monkeys on the cover or tell a story with apes. They go crazy for it. So that could work. All right, my next pick. You picked Owlman, and I almost did. But ultimately, I went with Ultraman. Superman. Kind of analog in the crime syndicate. First appeared way back in Justice League number 29, and you know, ultimately I went with Ultraman because I for some reason I think there's an Owlman story coming in one of the anthologies. Obviously they're both going to be in the crime syndicate series that's coming around, but he is just so twisted, and I don't know, I think there's always so much potential when you start talking about evil versions of Superman. We've seen a few of them work really well, and we've seen people respond to him. Homelander is, you know, a popular character in The Boys, and then obviously Mark Waid's Irredeemable series did very well also. So I just think in the hands of the right team, that an Ultraman title could do something. So that's why
in the Crime Syndicate book, you're going to get the origins of Ultraman in the backstory.
Yeah,
so you'll at least get that for now.
Yeah, here's the thing though, I feel like, and the reason I say in a solo book you have his own title is because so much of what we always see with Ultraman is so dependent on his interactions with the rest of the
syndicate,
you know. So I kind of want to see, he like depends on them, and I don't think he's actually that strong of a character, and I don't mean that by like physically strong. I just mean like mentally, he's always shown as being sort of, I don't know, there's something wrong with him emotionally or mentally, to where he's not as, you know, capable he might think. And so I would think if you take away his crutch of you know, ordering around Owlman and ordering around Superwoman to do his bidding, you know, what are you left with? And I think with the right story, it could work. All right, what do you have? What are your number three or number
four now?
Number four, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, Big Barda.
Of course.
That's my pick. Showed up first, created by the great Jack Kirby, Mr. Miracle number four. She's one of the original female Furies from the New Gods on Apocalypse, product, of course, of Granny Goodness. So the reason why she's my pick is because she's always like carrying titles. And Mr. Miracle, the one that with Tom King, she had a really pivotal role in really helping Scott Free, you know, find himself if he ever did. In a lot of TV series, they actually look towards Big Barda when they really need that muscle, that help. And so she's always a player, but never the lead role. And even in Female Fury, she was featured in that a couple of years ago. But still, it's with the group, and I want to see her on her own, see her how she handles making decisions on her own. And it would be a good title.
Yeah, I mean, once the New Gods movie comes out, it wouldn't surprise me if she does get her own book once the New Gods movie gets closer to release. All right, my fourth pick is Maverick, also known as Agent Zero from, again, the X-Men corner of the Marvel Universe. First showed up in X-Men Volume 2, Number 5, February 1992. And I just think he's an interesting character that we haven't gotten a lot. I mean, he's showed up in various events here or there, but he's always such a minor character that I think there's a lot of potential for story there. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, was teammates with Wolverine, and you know, there's a lot there, you know, part of Weapon X, part of Team X. His mutant abilities haven't been fully explored. He's as a soldier at heart. There's things to explore there with his history with Wolverine. And I don't know. I just always found him a really intriguing character that I feel like he's too much of an afterthought. People haven't fleshed him out enough. You know, he could be in a way, I kind of compare him to Moon Knight. I think he has that kind of potential. And not that I think Moon Knight has necessarily fulfilled his potential or people have done a great job, you know, with Moon Knight. But I mean, Moon Knight's first appearance goes for thousands of dollars and he's about to have a TV show. And Maverick, you know, he hasn't even, I think actually he might have had his own like mini series, one or two issues, a two issue or a one shot or something, now that I think about it. But it certainly hasn't been any time in the recent past. Yeah, one shot. He had a one shot, according to Wikipedia. Self-titled one shot, Maverick in the Shadow of Death. So, all right, what do you have up next, Manny?
Okay, hear me out. So I cheated because I didn't pick one person, but hear me out on what I want. It involves B-list villains. Because obviously, if you're going to be a villain in the DC Marvel universe or any, well, in this case, it would be DC in general. But I want a anthology series that takes place in the Iceberg Lounge, and we have like villains coming together, telling their early day stories, their success stories. So maybe Captain Cold and some of the Rogues, maybe Black Mask. You know, any of these kind of like anyone who had heists and things like that. I want to see a villain heist book where you go through the adventures of what some of these villains did to become as you know, to gain the notoriety that they have now, because obviously once they become bigger, they become a focal point to superheroes, and you don't really get away with much sometimes. So I would want to see a villain heist book that is, I guess, hosted by the Penguin.
That's actually a really good idea. And, you know, Pamela Lyford is listening because I know she's a huge fan of me. Yeah, I could see her doing that. It's first of all, you just put Batman, you put Batman in the title, just like the, what is it? Batman Urban Legend anthology. It's going to sell. You just put Batman in the title and you just tell a bunch of stories in yeah, the Iceberg Casino. That could definitely work. So, but here's what's interesting. So I did think about a few different villains to put on here. They're so much harder to tell villain stories, you know, month in and month out without overusing the character or overexposing. Yeah. So there were a few villains that I thought about and then rejected. But this guy, he's been a villain. He's been a hero.
Oh boy.
And based on the absolutely incredible death metal one shot that we just got.
I know who you're going with.
Today, as we're recording this, you know, obviously read it, you know, previously, but he's always been one of my favorite characters, Superboy Prime. So I don't know if you said it before he became Superboy Prime, like before he even got his powers, before the crisis, or, you know, just as he's getting his powers, you could set it during the crisis when he's still, you know, a pure hero. You could set it during Infinite Crisis and examine him losing his damn mind and becoming a kind of a petulant, spoiled brat. I want my world back. I want my world back. You could set it after that when he's kind of the mustache twirling Superboy Prime that everybody hated, the voice of the fanboy kind of, or you could set it after this most recent one shot with kind of a new status quo for Superboy Prime, or you could tell stories in all the various eras of Superboy Prime. But just think, like, look at how many different eras of Superboy Prime, how many different stories you could tell. That is very fertile ground. Yeah, and I think if you get Jerry Ordway to draw it, man, I'm in 100%. That would be my, like, I know we didn't rank these, but obviously, you know, I'm a huge Superboy Prime fan. And a lot of it doesn't have to do with when he was a full-on villain. A lot of it has to do with more of the potential he has to actually be a hero. You know, if DC were to ever redeem him or, you know, find a way to, you know, not make him that whiny version that everybody dislikes, which is also my least favorite version of Superboy Prime. So, and we'll have more Superboy Prime talk. We're going to have to do a full on, I don't know if it'll be a Superboy Prime spotlight or whatever, because we got to talk spoilers. We got to talk deep about that metal one shot. And if we're going to do that, we might as well talk about some other Superboy Prime stuff. So that's my pick right there. Superboy Prime. Would love to see that. Don't expect it anytime soon, but I definitely would love to see it. Of course, all that being said, if Brian Michael Bendis is going to write it, then I don't even want
Shadow,
it.
To, don't do it.
I don't
no.
want. I don't want it to exist. Keep that man as far away from Superboy Prime as possible. Scott Snyder, you know, he co-wrote the one shot. Jeff Johns, either one of them would be spectacular.
No, not Johns. Delays. Gonna be delayed.
Eh, maybe.
Don't let Johns touch it.
Let Johns wait. If he's going to do it, then have him write, you know, have all the scripts turned in and then do it. Or you know what might be interesting? You're talking about doing an anthology. Why not bring creators on? Okay, you do an arc, you like pick an era of Superboy Prime, tell a story, and then bring on another creative team and they can pick their era of Superboy Prime and they tell a story. It's almost like being able to tell Superman stories, but if you want to tell like a Superman doing something bad, you just pick the era where Superboy Prime was kind of evil, was a bad guy. So, or you want to tell a more innocent time, you go back to the beginning. So, yeah, that's my pick. So, all right. Anything else you want to add, Manny?
Give Robbie Reyes a proper freaking book. You guys did him so dirty a couple years ago, Marvel. Yeah, that's it. That's all I want to say.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you celebrate, we hope it's a joyous time for you and that everybody's being safe and responsible. We all look forward to a better 2021. And we hope you've all enjoyed all this extra 12 days of the Comic Source content that we're putting out. So as always, thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.